was just this morning. That I was woken up this morning at 5 a.m. by someone shouting, Happy Christmas, Father Christmas has been, let's open Christmas. I mean, there it's all, that's what Jen would be like. Right, if you've got a copy of the Bible, hopefully you have, please grab it and turn to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to start reading from verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When I was about 7 years old, I memorized the first 20 verses of Luke chapter 2 to get a memory verse certificate at school. Church, you've got 5 memory verse certificates, and you've got a diploma, you've got 3 diplomas, and you've got a shield. Not my literally not, that would be better. And I don't actually say that to pick myself up, but actually I've read this passage hundreds of times, and yet there was one part, despite the amount of times I've read it in the past, I've never actually noticed it. I've never really noticed, as it says in verse 9, that the glory of the Lord shone around me. How long, I've read it in these verses how many times, how long have I ever spotted that? The glory of the Lord. The shepherds weren't simply visited by angels on that hillside, although that's amazing enough in itself, I don't think it's ever happened to me. But God's glory was present, visibly present, in the fields outside Bethlehem. It shone around them. We can't really know what that was like. Oh, picture's gone. There's a picture there that gave one artist the impression. But we can imagine that the pitch black Bethlehem night sky suddenly becoming as bright as day. But there must have been something more to it than that. We're told that the shepherds were terrified, and there's no surprise to that. In the Old Testament, when one of the prophets visibly witnessed God's glory, actually seeing a glimpse of something of the perfect creator God, they became vividly aware of their sinfulness. Their unworthiness as mere, frail, sinful human beings like you and me. It wasn't just something they saw with their eyes, but witnessing the glory of God had a spiritual impact. They felt something inside. 2 examples from the Old Testament. Isaiah witnesses the glory of God, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and says, "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Ezekiel sees an amazing image of the glory of God, a vivid description that goes on for a full 28 verses. And at the end of it, he writes, "When I saw it, I fell face down." Witnessing the glory of the living God would have been an awesome thing. And for sinful people, normal people like you and me, it should be something terrifying. But the angel says, "Do not be afraid." Why not? Terror seems to reason. reasonable emotion. They should be quaking in their boots. Why should they fear? Well, that's the reason the angel appeared. To tell them with good news that can cause great joy to all the people. They should have joy and not fear. Why? Because actual God was actually now living amongst them. The world we used is incarnate. God was incarnate. Just a few miles away in the village beneath them, the angel says, a saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. The Messiah, that's the name of the long-awaited Jewish saviour whose arrival had been prophesied throughout the Old Testament. If I saw the glory of God and a great company of the heavenly host, I'd probably believe what I was being told. But the angel also gives the shepherds a sign of something to look for. They say, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Luke 2 continues, so when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go into Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. Let's be frank, the shepherds abandon their post. They leave their job. There's no way they could have taken a flock of sheep into Bethlehem with them. But they abandon their post for something that they think is more important. So, do the shepherds make the right choice? What do they see? Well, they see the sign that the angel had given them. They see a newborn baby in a cattle trough. At face value, it's not actually something that's that exciting to see. Can you imagine a more understated way for God to unveil his master plan to save his sinful fallen creation? Yet that event, the truth of that event, caused a great company of the heavenly host to appear, with the angels saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace on those that, to those on whom his favor rests. Everything was exactly as the angel had promised it would be. The baby they witnessed in the manger was no less glorious than the sight they saw on the hillside. They had witnessed the glory of the Lord on the hill, the majestic glory of the divine creator king. But they also saw a glorious God in the manger. A baby that would have looked pretty similar to any baby you and I may have held in the past. The two scenes could not have looked any more different. And yet they were glorious scenes of the same glorious God. Verse 17 carries on. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, praising and glorifying God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the 8th day, when it came time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. So the shepherds actually returned to the field to go back to the day job, glorifying and praising God for the things they had heard and seen. They had joy. There was good news of great joy on November the 9th this year. That was the day the Pfizer vaccine was announced as being 90% effective against coronavirus. It was described as a great day for science and humanity, even though no one beyond the test subject had actually been vaccinated. However, it was good news because the world knew that COVID could be beaten. So the vaccine is good news of great joy for us all, because whilst this is not perfect, this Christmas would have felt very different had the vaccine not been found. So in this regard, we can have joy because we have hope. In a much greater way, Jesus' birth is only the start of his story. The Nativity is day one in this part of God's plan to redeem humanity, a plan the entire Old Testament had been building towards. And it was a plan that would see fruition 33 years in the future on a cross 4 miles north of Bethlehem. Yet Jesus' birth is good news and great joy for the shepherds, for those in Bethlehem that the shepherds told, and for us too. because inside that baby was the power to beat sin and death. The COVID vaccine is one cure to one virus, but Jesus is the remedy to all sin, for all people, for all time. So our response, for those of us who knew that this baby grew to adulthood, performed mighty proofs of who he was before dying and rising again. Those of us who have welcomed Jesus as friend and saviour, our response should be exactly the same as that of James. This has been a year that many people will want to forget. Some of it has sucked. But we can have joy. We should have joy. Because of what happened on that Christmas night, as it says in the carol we're going to sing next, joy to the world. We know joy because the Lord has come. We have joy because the Saviour reigns. Because he does rule the world with truth and grace. So we can give thanks and praise Jesus for the wonders of his love.
Before we sing.